Hello and welcome to the Service Park. My name is EJ and this is going to be a review of Rally Chile Bio Bio. We're going to start off by going through some topics that were kind of hot going into the rally here in Chile, mainly the one coming off of Argentina, where we had obviously the little bit of drama between Seb and Thierry. More so Seb, I would say. I mean, I think Seb not contributing to three rallies this year was a little bit behind with the points, more so than he's used to. So tried to play a little bit of head games there in Argentina with Thierry. But Thierry held strong. You know, he stayed cool under that pressure and just kept his strategy, his consistency. Worked that through the rally and through attrition, really. Worked his way up to a winning position. And then Seb, obviously, on the Wolf Power stage, I got a little distracted into that one right-hander and rolled it over. Luckily for him, or well done for him, I guess I should say, because it was some solid effort and expertise to get the car going again. He was able to finish that stage and then keep his Saturday points. More so, I would say, important for the constructors at this point. I think even Seb admitted after that rally that he's more focused on the constructors now because his drivers is a little bit tough. I mean, I think it would take Thierry to stumble, which is possible, but you know, it would depend on what happened going into to Chile. And speaking of Thierry, obviously there's been some criticisms of him. I think more so passive aggressive, and as far as the pros and the pundits are concerned, talking a lot about how Thierry's benefited from the point structure this year. He's been consistent but not won a lot. I see where they're coming from. A lot of stuff on X, you know, people talking about how if he does win it, he'll be one of the weakest champions in a long time. You know, in a way, I guess that's true. It's tough to talk about because you talk about recent champions, you're talking about Calais, who's obviously a star. You're talking about Seb, possibly, you know, OJ, possibly the best to ever do it, arguably, and then Seb Loeb. I mean, sure. But it's hard to really criticize what he's done this year, in my mind, because I think he's just done really well, just been very consistent. I mean, we look at Calais last year, started out, I think, with a second in Monte, and then three-fourths in a row, a little bit slow, and then he kind of started getting to his rhythm. But you never know if this year Calais were running full-time schedule and he started that way and Thierry started the way he did and got on top of him, and, you know, maybe Thierry keeps it. It's hard to say. The bottom line is you race who you're racing. Last year Calais was consistent. Calais had three rally wins, in 2023. Thierry this year, I would say, could have three, maybe even four, depending on how the last two go. Obviously a tarmac guy, Hyundai, more suited to the tarmac. I think if he comes out strong in CER and is able to get the win there, then I think he's secures the championship. And at that point, he's kind of, the gloves are off going into Japan and he can really push it. So it's possible he ends up with four wins and you know, you could say a very similar year to what Cali did last year. So I think some of that is unfair. The points is also, I feel like, one of the most unfair things. I understand there's a lot of criticism about the point system. It's not perfect. I think it's good. It gets you a little bit more interested in Sunday. The drivers aren't just cruising through the morning, saving tires for the power stage. I think there could be some tweaks done. You know, Seb Ogier has talked about that, and he's offered up, I think, some tweaks to kind of lessen the available points for Sunday, which, you know, I think makes sense. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to have those points on offer throughout the final day. But hey, you know, maybe I'm wrong. But if you look at you analyze 2023 points and apply them to 2024, Thierry's still been leading I think, all year, with the exception of maybe Ogier at one point, because of those wins. And, you know, that's another thing that people are gonna talk about, is, you know, the prior champions. Ogier, you know, obviously, as we said, eight times, one of the best to do it. He has three, I want to say, wins. And then Calais, you know, now with four. But they've benefited from road position, and then they've also been really fast. I mean, they're great drivers. They're champions. You know, there's a little bit of two things that are working there against Thierry. And he's had to do a lot of road cleaning, and obviously he's been vocal about that, and people have been critical of that, and I get it. But ultimately, if you look at the points, we'll get into it later. I think going into this rally, Thierry was up 173. His next closest was Oit with 148 and then Seb with 147. So he's still kind of running away with it, whether you take the 2023 points into account or the 2024. I don't think it's a situation where he's, you know, just casually driving through Friday, Saturday, and then blitzing it on Sunday and taking advantage of that. I think Oit's probably done that more than he has, where Oit's had some bad Friday, Saturdays, and really taking a lot of points in the Sunday. But I think Terry's just been consistent. I think he's fought through Friday. I think he's known he's had to clean the road. He's fought through it, and he's had some fortunate situations. I think the big one was at Oit in Poland hitting the deer. I mean, I think that was, I think that really helped, you know, helped. It could have went in a different way. If Oit goes on and wins that rally, you don't know what happens from there. But I mean, I think in any championship, there's a little bit of luck that can go your way. And Terry's had a little bit this year too. It seems like the rally gods are in his favor, and also Hyundai's favor. I mean, you look at what happened to Toyota in Finland and then Argentina, you know, with, especially with Calais, you know, on the power stage, and, you know, falling out of contention from the win and Elfin as well. So, yeah, just tough, running for Toyota when they've had some really fast drivers and just kind of, you know, sometimes mistakes, sometimes bad luck have not gotten the points that maybe they deserved. But, you know, we'll see how the rest of the year shakes out. So going into Chile, we've got championship status. We talked about Thierry a little bit. He mathematically can win the championship going into Chile. He knows that. But it's a very slim chance. You would need Seb to really, really have a bad weekend, and Oit as well. So the odds of that happening, I mean, it's been run twice before in WRC, and Oit's won both. So to expect that Oit would have a shocker of a day is not really to be expected. So I think he just kind of came in thinking that I'll get as many points as I can and move on through. And then obviously in WRC2, you've got Oliver, who, if he wins, he's the champ. So some pressure on him there. And I think you could kind of see that as the weekend started. But let's get into that a little bit. Speaking of Oliver with the shakedown was a little unique. We had some drivers just kind of cruising, just driving through that shakedown, saving tires. I think they had 12 hard tires allocated to them for the weekend, and they definitely wanted to keep as many of those available as possible, not knowing what the conditions would be like. Chile obviously being very rough conditions traditionally in the 2 years it's been run, and very inconsistent, which is what we got. And I think the lack of testing, the fact that they're not allowed to test down there, they don't really know what they're going to get as far as how the tires react and what they want to do. So I think that also attributed to the shakedown being a little bit more different than usual. Those Friday conditions were very variable. We, you know, a lot of the drivers were talking about how it was changing. It wasn't like a traditional, whatever, you know, gravel rally, fourth or fifth on the road or whatever it may end up being. You know, the road gets clean and then you see those faster times. I mean, there was like, it really depended on the line. I feel like I heard a few people saying, I think Sammy Pirey mentioned it. I feel like several drivers mentioned it, where that if you were in the line, you could pick up some speed, but if you got outside that line, it was very slippy and hard to control the car. And you could easily have a little bit of an off, as we saw a few times, little spins, offs, as we went throughout the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, that was more of the fog and the damp to wet conditions coming in and trying to figure out what was going to go on with the weather and trying to guess that. And then Oit obviously expressed his displeasure with the team, you know, figuring out what they expected from the weather and what tire choices he ended up taking in those stages. So how we're going to do is we'll break down with the constructors, and we'll start with the constructor of the winning driver. So that would obviously be Toyota. We already talked about it coming into it. Calais with the win in Rally Chile, taking those points. Overall, I think a great drive from Calais. Not his typical domination where he just kind of gets on a roll and you know, just racks up fast time, you know, stage win after stage win after stage win. Friday, he was talking a lot about how he was having trouble with his inconsistency, not feeling comfortable with the car and how things were going with all that. But, you know, he fought through it. He fought through the Friday. And even with all that, in typical Calais fashion, as much as he wasn't really happy with himself, you know, he had that spin. And I think it was stage five, not really spin. I guess stage four, he outbraked himself a little bit and ran a little long into the fence there. But no real damage to the car. Got through it. And then even though it was a day of struggles for him. I think he ended the day in third, I want to say. So still ending the day in the podium positions. Knowing, I think even he said that Saturday and Sunday would suit him better. And they did. He came into Saturday, Sunday, started pushing. And then, and I feel like this is a typical Cali fashion when there were some tough conditions, when we got into fog and we got into some dampness and some rain. He was like, all right, this is my time to push. And he really, really excelled. And that's where he built that gap and took the lead over Elfin, I believe. And then didn't look back. You know, that was, it was his for the rest of the weekend. He just kind of pressed through, and to the Sunday and to the win with a great, great power stage where he, I think he was a 10th slower than Seb. That was a pretty cool stage to watch, as you just saw the green and the red going back and forth between Seb and Cali. Overall, obviously, people have talked about Cali this year been kind of win or win it or bin it. You know, he's either retired or he's won. And obviously in Finland, he retired from really no fault of his own, a rock in a bad spot. And from another possible win. So just an incredible year. I mean, four wins for him can easily, should easily be five. Just driving impeccably well. You're curious to see, you know, with all that said, you're excited for next year with Cali. You're excited to see him coming back to a full-time drive and seeing what he can do in the championship. I think that's going to be, it's going to be a fun one to watch. So moving down the order of Toyota, we've got Elfin next. Elfin finishing runner-up to Cali, second spot. Really, I think one of Elfin's better rallies this year, if not his best rally. I know he did, I think that equals his best. Second place equals his best for the year. I want to say Sweden, he got that as well. I can't remember if he had any other ones. I think Sweden might have been it. But anyway, a great drive from Elfin. He also spoke about not being overly comfortable in the car. You know, they were complimenting him on Friday about his position and ended up after a time adjustment. From that first stage, he ended up leading after Friday, and he was still kind of like, I don't feel great, but, you know, it is what it is. We're going through, and Elfin's a battler. He's a fighter, and he fought through those conditions, and you don't really hear Elfin complain a whole lot. Not that he was complaining, I think, but he was just mentioning the conditions about the fog and how hard it was to see. You know, you're driving with pace notes, and you know, it could be he, I think he said it was on the line, you know, it was right on the line of whether or not they should keep going or not. And I think that says something from a guy like Elfin that doesn't really usually mention that stuff. He just kind of puts his head down and pushes through. So obviously some tough conditions out there, but he is a battler and he battled through and got a solid finish there, podium finish in second place, which I think he's pretty excited about. Elfin at this point, obviously out of the drivers, I think he's just kind of focusing on the constructors at this point and trying to get Toyota up to where they want to be with leading and winning the constructors title this year. Elfin last year, you know, these last two races, CER in Japan, it did really well. I mean, he obviously crashed out of CER, but was running very well at the time, battling with Cali at the time, I believe, last year. So, you know, he has every chance to take a very positive result, possibly win in CER, and then he won Japan last year. He always goes strong there as well. So I think he's got it, you know, all to play for as far as helping out Toyota to get that Constructors' Championship. So we'll see how that shakes out. Moving on next down the line, we'll go with Seb with Toyota. Seb's had an interesting last two rallies. Obviously, I mean, it's Seb Ogier. He's incredibly fast, and he's been incredibly fast these last two rallies. And you could hear the frustration in his voice when he was doing some interviews where he's just like, man, I've been so quick. I've really been so fast in stages, but then not much to show for it. You know, the role in Argentina, and then, you know, he's pushing. I mean, I think in past years, you know, this is the, not that you can't compare these two side by side, but, you know, Thierry in the past has really tried to push when he's been a little bit behind the championship, and he's had his share of wrecks throughout his career. I think Seb, you know, in stage three of Chile, I mean, I think he was just pushing and he went a little wide. Stage three, I think between the first and second split, and knocked that tire off and had to do the tire change, made it a quick tire change, and then blitzed through the rest of the stage and really blitzed through the rest of the day, just flying in great Seb Ogier form. Trying to climb back up that leaderboard. And then obviously, I think it was a stage win to start Saturday with seven and then an eight. He hits that rock with the right side, you know, on the right side of the line there, damages the suspension, and then, you know, he's just a passenger off the stage and out of the Saturday, missing out on Saturday points. he's done for the day, and then obviously come back Sunday, and then Sunday was just an impeccable Seb Ogier day where he blitzed through every stage, won all the Super Sunday points, you know, got those 12 points for Toyota to help them out in the constructors. And I think at this point, similar to Elfin, I think even Seb has pretty much said that he's focusing on the constructors now, and he's there to do a job, and that is to help Toyota get that title. And he did everything he could this weekend to make that happen by getting those 12 points and securing them on the Sunday. Just a tough situation to see Seb go through. I mean, he's missed three rallies this year, and still, you know, going into Argentina, was really looking at a strong chance to contend for his ninth title, which is just unreal. Almost had nothing to lose, I think somebody said, and I believe it was the Dirtfish review. You know, it was kind of like he's going into it like, hey, you know, I'm saying I'm contending for my ninth title. I've missed three rallies. If I win it, I'm a hero. If I don't, then hey, I was starting, you know, with one hand tied behind my back. So just an incredible driver who's pushing through some tough circumstances here in the last two rallies. But, you know, I think he'll push through the rest of the year and really help Toyota to fight for that constructors. And then you've got Sami Pajari to round out the Toyota team there. Solid run for him, young driver, talented driver. I believe he finished sixth in the rally, I want to say. Yeah, sixth place finish, which is an awesome finish. I mean, you know, Adrian Formeau, who we'll talk about later with M-Sport, really had a great drive, as a fight back from tough situations, and Sami was right behind him. So I think a great drive from Sami. I think he's a talent, you know, and I think we'll probably see him working towards a full-time drive very soon, you know, if not next year, then very shortly after that. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him in possibly in a full-time drive next year in WRC Rally 1, which would be awesome. So just Toyota as a whole, going over what their weekend was like, I think it was a great weekend for them. They came into Chile 35 points down, and then they halved it, you know, in one weekend, which, you know, through bad luck, they've been 35 points down. And then I analyzed the driver's comparison from 23 to 24 points. I feel like, you know, while it hasn't really affected the driver's title a whole lot, I'm curious, I'll have to do some kind of analysis. I'm curious how much it's affected the constructors. That I'm not 100% sure of, with how that would shake out. But regardless of that, obviously they've had some bad luck in Finland and Argentina, which really hurt them. I mean, Yari Mati was down, you know, obviously after Argentina. But they, you know, he turned it around, I think, in between the two rallies, and his motivation was there for the team, and they clawed it back by cutting it in half. That being said, I think it's going to be tough for them to win the constructors. I mean, they're the first constructor to max out a weekend points. I believe they got 55 points this past weekend in Chile. Even with all that, this was the last gravel rally. The Toyota, as you know, Mike Chen and others have talked about, it goes well in those, you know, medium to high speed gravel rallies. whereas Hyundai is better with the tarmac and the tight twisty, you know, rough rallies. I think this was really probably their chance to really get those points, and they did. They maximized what they could. Not to say that they couldn't do it in CER in Japan. Like we talked about earlier, Elfin runs well there. He could get a lot of points. I mean, obviously, I think Calais said he's not going to, I think they've said he's not going to be in CER, but he'll be there for Japan. And then Seb, you know, finishing it out. So they've got great drivers, and they've got all the chance in the world to fight for it. But you're kind of getting into Hyundai and Thierry Neuville's domain now. So we'll see how that shakes out. So then we'll segue that into Hyundai. Moving on to the next manufacturer and the highest place finisher for Hyundai, being Oit Tanak, with a third overall. Again, battling. I mean, just a fighter. He really fought through the weekend, and I think he really got probably everything he could out of that Hyundai this weekend. He said after the first stage, I believe it was stage end interview, he said the car was undrivable, and it was just, he's like, I got to talk to the engineers and figure out what's going on here. He's a guy that's won this rally the two previous times it's been run, so obviously he's got some great knowledge about how the stages go and what you need to adjust the car. He's obviously done it with two other cars, one with Toyota and then with M-Sport. It would have been cool to see him win it with Hyundai and get the, you know, three wins with three different manufacturers. But unfortunately for Oit, it was not to be. But he made those adjustments to the service, I think, on Friday, and really pushed through the rest of that Friday to be on the provisional lead until the time adjustment from the first stage. Put Elfin up by 3 seconds, I believe, at the end of the Friday, but a solid drive from Hoyt. Like I said, I think he got everything out of that car that he could have this time. He took clawed back 5 points from Thierry, so he was 34 points down going into the rally. Came out of it 29 points back. And I think he's even kind of said, I believe he'd said in one interview that he's more focused on the manufacturers at this point. I'm sure that, you know, if something happens with Thierry, which is possible, Thierry throws it off one of the rallies on a Sunday or something like that, doesn't get any points, then Oit's right back in it. So, you know, Oit's a battler, I think, in the back of his mind. He's hoping that something like that happens and he can take advantage of that. But ultimately, I think it seems like it's probably Thierry's to lose. And speaking of Thierry, we'll move on to him next, the next highest finisher with Hyundai. Fourth overall. I mean, look, Thierry, I think, is probably about the most he hoped for. I believe he said coming into the rally, fourth or fifth would have been great. I think if you had went to him before the rally and said, hey, you're going to finish fourth, he would have said, sweet, you know, I'll take it right now, without even running through the stages. So I think, you know, overall, a solid, solid weekend for Thierry. He's just been, you know, people I think have kind of said it almost as a sly criticism that he's been consistent, and he has, and that's how he's gotten there. But I mean, I think they've been solid championship winner style drives that he's had throughout the year. I think people are kind of not really giving him his due to an extent there, and I could be wrong. But Thierry's just fought through. I mean, people I think have called him lucky. There's been a lot of that talk out there, but I think, Thierry's also fought through issues. I mean, the fuel pump issue in Sweden that also happened in Kenya that they fought through. Multiple other little things here and there, kind of like this weekend on Saturday. I think it was the end of the day on Saturday. He was talking to Colin Clark from Dirtfish and said that he was having Colin Clark asked him about his major issue. And it sounds like, you know, there's an issue with the engine shutting off throughout the stages and in the morning Saturday, and they would get it back on, you know, finish the stages. You know, I know at the stage interviews they're like, yeah, you know, he's saying there's an issue, but it's not really shown in the times. And I think that just kind of shows that how he's, you know, he just fights through whatever issues may come his way. And I think he did that. I think he's done that throughout his career and done that very much this year, to minimize damage and to keep himself atop the championship standings. And then obviously came back in that Saturday afternoon stages and they fixed the issue and he fought through. I think he won stage, was it stage 12, I want to say he won, through the fog. Probably a little bit better conditions for him than for some of the other runners like Calais. I think it's starting to get a little bit worse for him. And then, you know, Calais finished just 5 seconds behind Thierry. But really a great drive from Calais, like we talked about earlier. You know, I think Thierry's fought through these gravel rallies, you know, especially in the middle of the year here. I was at 7 in a row with the gravel. And I think, you know, going into Finland, he was probably like, you know, I just got to fight through these last couple. We'll just get through it. Last few. And I think the result in Finland, you know, it kind of came to him a little bit, which has happened throughout the year. Like I said, there's an aspect of luck that goes into title runs. So I think really leaving Finland on a positive note. And then obviously Argentina, where same thing, he just kind of stayed consistent. You know, he, you know, went through Argentina, he had no punctures. People were kind of, and I can't remember any specific things, so I shouldn't really say that, but you know, people may say that's a lucky situation where you don't have any punctures. But you look at Calais earlier this year in Kenya, he didn't have any punctures, and people are saying, you know, he's the gravel whisperer, not gravel, but you know, he's the stage whisperer. He's just driving around these rocks and not getting any punctures. So I'm not saying Thierry was doing that in Argentina, but I am saying that Thierry knew that he just had to have a slow, solid pace. Or not slow, but he needed to have a solid pace, just fighting through, and then, you know, attrition, and it kind of came to him with the win. And at that point, I think Thierry's just on a different level now. He knows that he came into Chile, he just needed some points, some solid points. And then the last two rallies of the year, obviously going into his wheelhouse and Hyundai's wheelhouse with CER and Japan. So I think, you know, Thierry won CER last year, crashed out of Japan, if my memory is correct. He goes well at both. And I think if he happens to get to, whether he wins or not in CER, if he clinches, you know, secures the title there, I think he's just going to be, you know, really given it everything he's got in Japan, to try and win that constructors for Hyundai. So it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of this year goes for Thierry and Hyundai, if they're able to, or if he's able to secure the drivers in CER, and then what happens with the constructors there in CER in Japan. So we shall see. Then finishing up with Hyundai, you got EP, and just a rough weekend all around for EP. He lost a couple bumpers in there. He just had a couple offs. He just kind of looked out of it all weekend and seemed out of it at the stage interview. He was not his normal self. I'm not sure if that's, you know, I'm sure he knew Yane was retiring going into the rally. I'm not sure if that affected him or what. But it'll be just a tough one for him, which is sad to see. Yeah, it's awesome to see EP do well. And he's a great character, a great personality in the WRC. And hopefully, even without Yane, hopefully we see him next year. But we'll see what the future holds. Hyundai overall, we've talked about it, you know. They went into this rally knowing that it wouldn't really suit their car and that they needed to just kind of fight through and get some points. And that they had two tarmac rallies coming up, and I think that's what they did. You know, they try, you know, somewhat minimize the points loss as much as they could. And then they move on to the two tarmac rallies and hope that they can hold the advantage. You know, I guess they're 17 points up, so Toyota would have to claw back 9 points in each rally. Is that right? Public math. 9 points in each rally, which is possible. You know, it's just going to depend on what happens as far as attrition and if there's any mistakes that are made by drivers and everything like that. But it's going to be, I think, tough for them to do. And I think Toyota knows that. And I think Hyundai knows that. So I feel like they probably feel pretty confident about the constructors going into the last two rounds. Then we'll move on to M Sport. Adrian Formeau, we talked about having an interesting weekend. Really, I think a great drive from Adrian. I think he's had a great year. It's a pretty cool series that the WRC is doing about M Sport, and you get to see the behind the scenes, and they're almost kind of doing their you know, F1 Drive to Survive with just M Sport, which is, it's cool to see. I'm really enjoying it, and it's cool to see Adrian behind the scenes talking about his drives, and I think he's had a great year. Was it stages 4 and 5, I believe, where he had the issue with one of his fan belts that he fixed, and then he damaged the cooling pipe, and you know, he ended up being late to the check-in, and which gave him a minute's worth of penalties that knocked him back. But then he just, you know, he came on the last two stages, like 5 and 6 of the day. 5, he was 2/10 behind Seb, and then 6, he won the stage. So I mean, just a great, in adversity, in a moment where your blood's pumping, your adrenaline's going, and, you know, you're trying to get this thing fixed, and you know, great mechanical work by him and co-driver to get it done. And then to have those stage times, I think just awesome all around. Really showing some great skill this year and some great, you know, mental ability and fight. So we'll see where he goes next year. Obviously, the rumor is that he's going to Hyundai. Whether or not that's the right call, I think, you know, they talked about that again with the Dirtfish review. I think George Donaldson and Alistair Lindsay were talking about it. You know, what's better? I think George was saying, you know, it's better to kind of stick where you're the main guy. And I think in the past episode on WRC, it was kind of, you saw Malcolm and talking about that, where he, you know, hey, if he stays here, you know, he'll be the guy. If he goes to Hyundai, he's not going to be the guy. So we'll see. I don't know where it'll end up. It'll be interesting to see. I'd like to see him stay with M Sport, but we'll see how it plays out. Overall, solid 5th place finish for him, which I think, you know, with that minute penalty, that's about as good as he could have done. I mean, I think he really drove well throughout the rest of the weekend. I think he had one spin maybe on the Sunday, but, you know, didn't lose a lot of time and was able to recover it. And then Greg, who's kind of had a little bit of a tough year, learning year, you know, this was one of his better rallies, maybe his best rally this year. And it's one that he's done before in a WRC one, you know, Rally 1 car that he got to do last year. So maybe that says something for him as well. Maybe, you know, they stick with him for next year and he's able to show a little bit more skill and less offs, less crashes, less, you know, finishing out of the points next year and keeps that drive, which I think, you know, we'll see. It's going to depend on who else is available and who else they want to put in that seat. Obviously segueing to the next driver, which is Martin Sesk. A lot of people have been talking about him lately. It's cool to see him rise up through the ERC to get to this level. Where he's got a few races this year. Obviously, the two rallies he was in before, he's had a little bit of experience with, and he's talked about that. He said, you know, in this rally, it was really a weekend of learning, that he learned more in this rally than he learned in the previous two that he's contested this year, in the WRC Rally 1, just because of the stuff that he went through. I mean, he had, you know, in the same stage as Seb, he had that off in stage 3 where he ran a little wide and punctured both left side tires, and he only had the one spare. And unfortunately was not able to make it back to service. So he was done for the day. And then, you know, just kind of fighting through the rest of the weekend, trying to get that knowledge. You know, he got some experience cleaning the road, running first on the road. He spoke about that. And just in general, I think it was a weekend of learning for him, which is good. I mean, that's what he's going to need if he's going to step up to that Rally 1 next year. So, you know, we'll see. I guess it'll depend on what happens with Adrian. You know, if Adrian is there next year with M Sport, then, you know, maybe they only run one more car, and it's, you know, is it going to be Greg? Is it going to be Martins? I mean, it's, you know, we'll have to see what shakes out in that situation in the silly season, but it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. M Sport overall, I think, you know, it was a good weekend for them to get some more seat time for Martins, just solid fight back for Adrian, and then a good finish for Greg. I think it was a solid weekend for M Sport. You know, contesting as a private team, that's an awesome story, and that's why I think that the documentary that WRC doing is pretty awesome to watch. It's an awesome team, and, you know, hopefully they stay in it, you know, with the new year regulations and are able to continue on and do well. So now we'll move on to WRC 2, and we will start with Citroën, with the winning driver, with Johan Rossell winning for WRC 2. Now with that controversy, you know, it was a little strange that we'll get to Oliver later, but you know, Oliver Solberg had that puncture and had to change a tire, and then you know, Johan said that he was hampered by that, and I believe he ended up getting back 40 seconds, something like that, to put him in the lead ahead of his teammate Nikolai Greisen, and then from there, you know, he fought it out and took the win and really put himself up there to fight for the WRC 2 title, which is going to be interesting to how the rest of that plays out. I think he's got his 7th rally and his final rally at CER. And I want to say, I've got it written down here, and we'll talk about it later, but I think he's 111 and Oliver finished up 123. So he's, what, 12 points back, you know, with one rally to go. So that's gonna be interesting. I'm curious to see the end of the WRC 2 year and how that shakes out. He's had a good drive though. I mean, you know, the French tarmac, you know, specialist, I think, stereotype, and then going into this year running the whole year. I think it's cool to see him doing well, and we'll see how he can finish it out. And then his teammate Nikolai Greisen was very fast throughout the weekend, especially through the opening day. I think he won a fair amount of stages that opening day. I think he won the two in the morning of Friday. Obviously, only three runners, you know, the three championship contenders going into it in Rally 1 got to finish stage 1. So the WRC 2 cars didn't get to go through. And then I think Nikolai won 2 and 3 and just had a solid day, solid rally to start. I want to say it was the end of the day on Friday where he almost had the off. He kind of was up on two tires like a James Bond movie. But was able to fight it through. And just a funny, this is a cool personality guy. You know, he gets to the stage ends and he's like, oh, you saw that? Oh, yeah. You know, well, I was hoping you didn't notice that. But cool personality. I like Nikolai a lot. It was cool to see him do well. And even with Johan winning it, he was able to come in second to finish that rally and then to get the Constructors title for Citroën in WRC2. So obviously a good weekend for them, you know, to wrap that up. And then we'll move on to our last team and our last two drivers here for the review with TalkSport. Obviously, Oliver Solberg going into the rally. He did not finish higher than Gus. Technically, we should put Gus here first, but Oliver going into the rally had the chance to win it. So put him up top there. If he had won it, he was WRC2 champion. And I think he kind of, you could sense that pressure was weighing on him a little bit. He was managing the rally. Building some speed, and then he had that puncture, and unfortunately that set him back. And he fought back. He got the 4th. I mean, he was flying after that. I think Mike Chen was saying how, you know, he wants to see him drive like this all the time, or he was just like, all right, and now we go. But all he was able to do was get back up to the fourth place position. Unfortunately for him, and you could see he was upset. I mean, he was almost in tears at the end of the rally, because he wanted to win it here and not have to worry about it, or at least put himself in a better position. Whereas now, I think, as we'll talk about, I think we just said he's only 12 points ahead of Johan, with Johan having one more rally to go. So we'll see how it shakes out. You feel for Oliver. He's, again, a great personality. He's had a great year this year, and it would have been cool to see him win it, but he's going to have to sit back now until Japan, because you got Johan running his seventh rally in CER, and then Sami Pyry, who's really kind of, gotten the best of both worlds for him. He's gotten to run in the Rally 1 car, and then he's also still in the fight for the championship, so he'll run his seventh rally in Japan, and we'll see what he can do. It'll be fun to watch. And then Gus, a solid weekend from Gus. Poor Gus has had a rough year. I mean, Gus obviously has a lot of talent, and really fought through Kenya to get a win this year. But then he's had, I think, three retirements and just kind of had a tough year. So it was good to see him get a podium, get that third place finish this weekend. And I think he mentioned that he's basically just going to fight now to help his, help his teammate, and try and finish as high as he can for his remaining rallies, and try and help Oliver win the title, which would, is a cool thing of him, and showing that team spirit. So obviously not really the rally that Talk Sport wanted. They wanted Oliver to win it and to get that driver's title, but unfortunately for Oliver and for the team, it was not to be this weekend. But we'll see how the rest of the year shakes out. And then we'll just go into a summary here of the weekend. Again, kind of all the stuff we've talked about already. Great performance by Toyota, by the entire team. They had their 1-2 finish. If Seb doesn't have his issues, that's a 1-2-3 finish. I mean, they're just a lot of great drivers over there. Those three drivers at the top are all, two championship winners. And Elfin's had his share of second places and, come close to being a championship winner himself. So he's no slouch. They got the full 55 points with that 1-2. And a great weekend for them and the constructors, having the distance to Hyundai in first. So I think they're positive going into the last two rallies. Elfin having one of his better rallies of the year. Hopefully he's got that positive mentality going into the last two rallies, and he can push for Toyota. And then obviously you have the two champs, that'll push for the rest of the year as well. So going to be fun to watch. And then we'll see what they can do against Hyundai. So Hyundai clearly struggled here, like we talked about, but this is not their forte, this track here, or this rally here in this type of surface. So I think they knew that going in, like we talked about. I think they really wanted damage limitation, which they did, and now they go into the last two rounds of CER in Japan on tarmac with Thierry. I think in a really good place to push on tarmac as well and try and secure his driver's championship as soon as possible. And then then he hopes to push for the Constructors' Championship if he's able to do that. So it's going to be fun to watch. We'll see how it comes down here. Just looking at the points totals, Thierry 207, Oit 178, and Seb 166. So obviously Thierry's got that 29-point lead that we talked about. Point totals under the old system, Thierry would be in the lead 185, with Oit second at 166, and Seb with 152. So Thierry's got a pretty commanding lead, whether it's 2024 point system, 2023, it doesn't really matter. And then obviously Hyundai and the Constructors has the lead with 482. Toyota 17 points back at 465, and then M Sport back in 245. So that's really going to be fun to watch coming down to the wire here, is to see who can take the Constructors. I mean, that's going to be a fun battle, a close battle, and we'll see what they can do. And then I think the more interesting thing is going to be that WRC2 battle. You got Oliver with 123, Johan Rossell with 111, and Sami Pyry with 108. And then Oliver's obviously done. 123 is all he's got. Johan Rossell is 111 going to CER, and Sami Pyry with his 108 going into Japan. So we'll see what they can do and who comes out on top there. It's going to be a fun one to watch. So that's all I've got for Rally Chile. If you ended up watching or listening, it's much appreciated. Next one back for is the season finale of the ERC. We'll do a review there. And then looking forward to the end of the WRC year. So thanks for joining, and we'll see you on the next one.